This is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
For the Bible says, let the Redeemer of the Lord say so.
Yeah.
And let everything that has breath praise the Lord. For he is the creator and protector of all of our lives. And in him we are able to stand. God is good. God is great, and for that he is greatly to be praised.
Amen.
And if you know that God is good, and you know that God has been good to you, why don't you give him some praise right now? For he's truly worthy of our praises. He's truly worthy of our praises. For he's the one who saved us from our sins. He's the one who protects us in our times of trouble. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. And to him we owe it all. Bow with me, if you will, for a moment of prayer. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we come once again to say thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for watching over us, keeping us, and allowing us to be assembled together once again in your house of prayer. To give you praise and to lift up your holy name. And Father, as we prepare to go into your word, I pray that you will use me as your vessel. Fill me with your spirit. Speak through me so that I may speak your word, that I may speak it clearly and convincingly.
Yes.
And may it be like food unto our souls, penetrate our hearts and our minds, so that we will go down from this place better off than when we arrived. God, have your way, and when you bless us, we will be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory.
Yeah.
And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
There is a word from the Lord today, and it comes from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 26. And if you have your Bibles, will you please stand for the reading of God's holy word? Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 26. And it reads, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter.
Yes.
Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink?
Right.
So he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree.
Mm-hmm.
When he cast it into the waters were made sweet.
Yes.
There he made a statute and ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, and I would put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Amen to the reading and hearing of God's holy word. You may be seated. My theme for the day is never forget where you came from. Never forget where you came from. I need your prayers. My brothers and sisters, it has been suggested that one of the greatest movies ever made was the story about the Exodus, with Charlton Heston playing the role of Moses and leading the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt. And in the story, there was an Egyptian god, an idol or false god, associated with each of the plagues that God sent upon the land of Egypt. But the gods of Egypt, the little g gods, had no power at all against the God of Moses, the one and only true God, the Almighty God, who appeared unto Moses in the burning bush and revealed unto Moses that he was the great I am.
Yes.
Who set the moon and the stars in the sky and separated the land from the sea. And he's saying to us today, I am what I have always been. And I am what I will always be. I am Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. And I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. The children of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, had been in bondage in the land of Egypt for over 400 years. And in their misery, in their pain and suffering, they cried out to the Lord for help. And the Bible says that God remembered his promise to Abraham to give his descendants the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. And following the leadership of Moses, the people marched out of Egypt and stood on the eastern shore of the Red Sea and saw the destructions of Pharaoh's army as the waters of the sea came up on them. And after they had been delivered out of Egypt, it was God's desire that Egypt would also be taken out of them, because God wanted Israel to be a holy nation and to be an example to the other nations on how to live a life of obedience to the one and only true God.
Right.
And the commandments that God gave unto Moses not only required an external obedience, but also an obedience of the heart.
Yes.
In other words, God not only required a physical circumcision, but he also required a circumcision of the heart. And time again, God would remind his people of who he was and what he had done for them. Because God did not want his covenant people to allow the false gods of the other nations to come between him and them. But the Israelites, for the most part, had uncircumcised hearts and were discontent and disobedient to the commandments of God. They were in the wilderness, but their hearts were still in Egypt. And most of those who followed Moses out of Egypt never entered into the land of promise because their hearts were not right with God. And that first generation of Israelites is one of the best examples in scriptures of a people who did not appreciate the goodness of God and all that he had done for them. In fact, it was not very long after they had witnessed the miracle at the Red Sea that they started grumbling and complaining to Moses about not having enough food and water to drink. And that brings us to our text today, where we see that after 3 days in the wilderness, that Moses and the people had encamped around the waters at Marah, but the water was bitter and unfit to drink. And verse 24 said that the people murmured against Moses. And I suggest, my brothers and sisters, that there are at least three important lessons that we can learn from today's text. First of all, we learned that God healed the bitter waters. For verse 25 said that Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when Moses cast it into the waters, the waters were made sweet. And Moses and all the people did drink of the water that had been miraculously healed by the mighty hand of God. And when God healed the bitter waters at Marah, he demonstrated his power over the order of broken creation, just as Jesus did when he calmed the stormy waters of the sea and said to the wind, "Peace, be still." And the disciples were amazed and said among themselves, "What kind of man is this, that even the wind and the waters obey his commands?" But Jesus had already demonstrated his divine power when he performed his first miracle at a wedding feast in Cana by turning water into wine. And how many of you here today know that the God we serve, the Almighty God, is still in the business of performing miracles, as evidenced by the testimonies of many who have miraculously recovered from cancer and other debilitating diseases. But in spite of all the signs and the mighty miracles of God, the wilderness generation continued to reject his word as proclaimed by his servant Moses. And then, even when God judged and punished them, the people continued to complain to Moses and grumbled about returning to Egypt. Yes. But God was long-suffering toward their ingratitude and forgave them time and time again. Yes. It was one thing for them to walk through the parted waters of the Red Sea, but quite another for them to trust in the Lord to provide for their daily wilderness walk. They remembered the food they ate in Egypt, but forgot the mighty deeds that God had done because they had a bad case of spiritual amnesia. And the disappointment of finding bitter water at Marah only made the situation worse. But what they failed to realize was that the whole purpose of the bitter water was only to test them to see if they would trust in the Lord to see them through. And like the wilderness generation who were tempted and tested in the wilderness, we too can expect that trials and troubles will come our way. And our faith will be tried and tested. Because the devil and his demons will do anything in their power to lead us astray. And his goal is to try to defeat God's plan and purpose for our life. Yes, yes. And how many of you here today know that if you are not careful, that Satan will bring conflict and division into our homes and will destroy relationships between husband and wife, parent and child. And whether you know it or not, he will also bring conflict, division, and confusion into the church. And will create situations and circumstances that only God can fix. And the ultimate fix, the once and for all fix, was a tree, an old rugged cross, where Jesus hung and died as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And by the blood of the cross of Jesus, God has transformed the bitter things of life into the sweetness of his glory. And now my second point on today's text is that we can trust in God to provide for our need. And somebody said, God will provide. For the Bible says that he is our provider and our keeper. And he has promised to supply our every need according to his riches in glory. Yes, sir. And just as God solved the problem at Marah by making the bitter water sweet, he will do the same thing for his people today if we learn to put our faith and trust in him. Yes, and if we learn to trust in the Lord during our wilderness journey and in our time of trouble, God will either change our circumstances or give us the grace to make it through. Just as he did when the children of Israel were trapped between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea in what seemed to be an impossible situation. But we all know the story of how God parted the waters so that the people could walk across on dry ground. And the Bible said that while they were in the wilderness, that God fed them with bread from heaven. And somebody said bread from heaven. But the people were still not satisfied and complained to Moses that they had no meat to go with the bread. And God heard that grumbling and sent a flock of quail over the camp so that the people had fresh meat to eat. And you would think that after all that God had done, that the people would glorify him and give praise unto his name. But they never learned to fully trust in the Lord. And instead of gratitude, they had an attitude. And there were many who began to call upon the false gods of Egypt. And yet, in spite of their grumbling and disobedience, God continued to provide for their needs. But because of the hardness of their hearts, they were not content in the Lord. God had promised to give the land of Canaan to Abraham and his descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. But because of their disobedience and the hardness of their hearts, except for Joshua and Caleb, that entire wilderness generation died in the wilderness and never made it to the promised land. And God would raise up a new generation. And somebody say a new generation. A new generation that would cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land. And God gave them the Ten Commandments and other instructions on how to live a life of holiness that would separate them from the other nations in the land. And God is saying to his people today, be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And to be holy means to be set apart, to be in the world, but not in the world. For the Bible said that we are to seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And our Heavenly Father will provide for all of our needs. But the problem is that there are too many of us who are just like the wilderness generation, who had everything they needed to make it to the promised land. And yet, they were never satisfied with what God had provided. They had enough faith to follow Moses out of Egypt, but did not trust in the Lord to provide for their wilderness journey. And we can learn a valuable lesson from the Apostle Paul, who said at Philippians 4 and 11, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Because Paul had learned to trust in the providence of God and to give thanks in all circumstances. And Paul is saying to us today at Philippians 4 and 6 that we are not to worry about anything, but in all things. And somebody say all things. In all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that our request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if we learn to look to Jesus and to trust in his word, then we can live a life of contentment and rejoice in thanksgiving, knowing that the Lord will provide. Yes. And the more we look to Christ Jesus in prayer and supplication, the less likely we will long for the things of this broken and sinful world. Right. And according to my sanctified imagination. If the wilderness generation had been content with the provisions that God provided, then there would have been no grumbling in the camp, and that whole generation would not have died in the wilderness. They had everything they needed for the journey, but they still wanted more. And as we continue this earthly journey, we must not lose sight of the fact that there's a huge difference between what we want and what we need. We want prime rib of beef, but what we need is baked chicken. And I know you like to hear those feel-good sermons, health and wealth gospel, Joel Osteen, Creflo Dollar, and all the prosperity preachers who say that God will give you whatever you want if you ask in faith. And there is some truth to that saying. But the fact of the matter is that God has not promised to give us everything we won't. For the Bible said that we don't even know what to pray for. But thanks to the goodness of God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, God will not only provide for our needs, but will also throw in some extras. In other words, God will oftentimes give us abundantly more than what we need. And I don't have to remind you that you don't need 20 pairs of shoes in your closet, 15 handbags, and 10 coats. And we surely thank God for the extras. For the Bible says that all good and perfect gifts come from the Lord. But what you must realize is that God is more concerned about our spiritual growth and the salvation of our souls than he is about the type of car we drive or how much money we make. But on the other hand, he also loves to give us more than what we need, because he is a loving and gracious father who delights in seeing his children doing well. But there are too many of us who are like the wilderness generation and spend too much time worrying about what we don't have instead of thanking God for what he has already provided. And now my third and final point, and I'll take my seat, is that God wants his people to be healed. God wants us to be whole in mind, body, and spirit. For we see in verse 26 of the text that God made a promise not to inflict his people with the diseases that he brought upon the Egyptians. And he said unto them, I am the Lord who heals you. But God's promise to heal his people was conditioned on their obedience to his word. And not only that, but God also warned them of the painful consequences of disobedience to his commands. Because God wanted a righteous relationship with his people. And he promised to fight their battles and keep them safe and secure in the land, so long as they were obedient to his word. Yes. And for those people who said that God doesn't heal anymore, evidently, they are not listening to the same testimonies that I hear. And they are not reading the same Bible that I read. For my Bible says that Hebrews 13 and 8, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if he healed during his time here on earth, he's still healing today. And God has promised to hear and answer any prayer that lines up with his word. But it is our duty to search the scriptures so that we may know and claim the promises and the blessings that God desires for his people. And we learn from New Testament scripture that Jesus spent more time in the healing ministry than he did in preaching and teaching. And there were many who followed after him, not because they believed in his word, but because they had heard about his power to heal sickness and disease. And the Bible said that when John the Baptist was in prison, that he heard about the mighty works of Jesus and sent two of his disciples to inquire of Jesus. And Jesus told them, go and tell my cousin John all that you have heard about me. The blind see and the lame walk. The deaf hear and the mute talk. The lepers are cleansed and the demons flee. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. In other words, Jesus had come to demonstrate through the miracle of healing that the spirit and power of God was upon him and was available to all who would come to know him as Lord and Savior. For the Bible says that Matthew 9:35, that Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching, preaching, and healing every sickness and disease among his people. And not only that, but the Bible says that Psalm 107, that God sent his word to heal his people. And through his death and resurrection, Jesus has ushered in a new day. And somebody say a new day. A new day, for the Spirit of God now dwells in the hearts of all who have come to faith in Christ Jesus. But if you really want to walk in divine health and strength that God desires for his people, then you got to learn to be like King David, who encouraged himself in the Lord by taking time to study and meditate on his word. And David said unto the Lord, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And this is the same commandment that God gave to the children of Israel when they entered into the promised land. God had been faithful to his promise to give the land of Canaan to the descendants of Abraham. And when they took possession of the land, God would warn them again to take heed to his word, and said unto them at Joshua 1:8, that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. And God's words are just as true today as they were when he spoke them to Joshua and the children of Israel. Which means that we can have assurance of good success, blessings, and healing when we fill our hearts and mind with God's word and obey it. And God is calling on his people today to search the scriptures and believe in the promises revealed in his word. For the Bible says at Isaiah 55:11, that God's word will not return to him void, but will accomplish whatever God said it would do. And it is God's perfect will that we all be healthy and healed. But what you must realize, as we go through our seasons of suffering, is that God's perfect will not occur until after the second coming of Christ, when the kingdom of God will be fully established. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And there will be no more sickness and disease, no more pain and suffering. And what a wonderful day that will be. But in the meantime, somebody say, in the meantime. In the meantime, the devil is busy in the world today, unleashing deadly sickness and diseases that are robbing God's people of their health and strength. Yeah. And the Bible makes it perfectly clear that we are all involved in spiritual warfare. Somebody says spiritual warfare. We're all involved in spiritual warfare. And our health and strength are directly related to our spiritual condition. And the primary weapon against the attacks of Satan is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And God has given us the power to say yes to his will, and yes to his word. But oftentimes, wake up and write this one down. Oftentimes, when sickness and suffering come our way, it is the direct result of the bad choices we make. And I'm just telling it like it is. We worry too much. We eat too much junk food. We drank too many Pepsi Colas. What's that other drink, Herbie? And we have too much anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness in our hearts. For the fact of the matter is that none of us are so good or so holy that we don't need a daily dose of divine help and healing. And so don't go around tooting your own horn, boasting about how good you are. Because we have all sinned and fall short of God's glory. And that is why it is important to stay prayed up so that we can stay connected to the source of our strength. And with God on our side, the doctor does not have the last word. Because all healing, somebody say all healing. All healing comes from God. And so the question here today, my brothers and sisters, is have you learned to trust in Jesus? And have you learned to feed on his word? And his word says that by his stripes, we are already healed. And what that means is that if we learn to trust in his promises and the power of his word, then nothing that the devil does shall prevail against us. Because in Christ Jesus, we have everything we need to make it to the other side of whatever our wilderness journey may be. And I know that I'm not the only one here who can say, thank God I don't look like what I've been through. For by the grace of the Lord I come a long way. By the grace of the Lord I come a long way. I can remember the time that I had only one pair of shoes, and they had holes in the soles. And I was glad to have that one pair. But by the grace of the Lord I come a long way. All the way from the cotton fields in Arkansas. By the grace of the Lord, I come a long way. Said, I've come a long way.